This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Shard Warrior, Book 2 of Crystal Shards Online. Written by Rick Scott. Performed by Eric Michael Summerer. Prologue. Bruce Peters was numb. His blood chilled as the technicians closed the lid to the stasis chamber and sealed his daughter's body with a pneumatic hiss of air. His Jill, his little Gilly, was now a barely living husk that would be preserved and stored, awaiting the moment, if and when, her consciousness finally returned. If it ever did. The thought gutted him. And it was all his fault. Barbara hadn't stopped crying since the technicians entered their home early this morning. But Bruce had known they were coming long before his wife. As the board chair, he'd gotten a call at 2 a.m. from Dennis. The latest figures to undergo transition were in. He should have known something was wrong when Dennis hesitated. The software engineer was typically matter-of-fact with his reports, but this time, he'd told Bruce to brace himself. When he'd heard the news that his own daughter was among the numbers, he'd nearly collapsed.
"We should have paid more attention to what she was doing," Barbara sobbed into his arm. "We should have watched what she was doing with that boy."
Her words pierced him, though he knew she wasn't blaming him directly. She should be, though. Bruce knew everything about that boy now. But it was all in retrospect. He'd been too preoccupied with keeping the city afloat to concern himself with it before. Now, however, the warning signs were blinding in his rear view. Ryan Roberts. Mike Roberts' younger brother. Bruce had only been vaguely aware of the resemblance when they'd met a few days ago. Now it was painfully clear, and the chances were too slim for coincidence. What was this, really? Some kind of message from Mike? Insurance, perhaps? Had he lured his daughter to the surface to ensure Bruce would come through with his promise? To ensure that his mother would receive her treatment in the end? Or was this simply karma? Payback for everything he'd put that family through all those years ago. That thought shook him even more. Whatever this was, the damage was done, and the outcome firmly out of his control. But that wouldn't stop him from trying to change it. This was his daughter. His only child. "I want to see the others," Bruce said to the technicians as his heart hardened with resolve. "I need to know who's up there with her. I need to know who's going to keep my little girl alive." Chapter 1. A New Reality. I wake up to the unusual but pleasant feel of Gilly nuzzling into my side. For a moment, I think I'm back home in my tin can habitat, buried miles below the ground, and that Gilly is somehow sleeping next to me on my dirty mattress of a bed. But as my consciousness stirs, I realize that I'm as far from that as I could possibly be. I'm on the surface, in the real world, yet still in the game. I bring up my character stats on my HUD, just to make sure I didn't dream it all. A window opens in my vision, superimposed over my naked eyes. Name, Reese. Class, Ninja. Level, 75. Strength, 6 plus 25. Dexterity, 80 plus 5. Agility, 80 plus 5. Intelligence, 4. Mind, 6. Vitality, 16 plus 20. HP, 902 of 902. Stamina, 247 of 247. TP, 149 of 149. I pull up my gear next. Koga Mask, plus 5 Shadow Magic, plus 5 TP. Koga Scarf, plus 5 Dodge, plus 5 Evasion. Koga Gi, plus 75 HP, plus 10 Strength, plus 10 Vitality. Koga Teko, plus 25 HP, plus 5 Strength, plus 5 Dexterity. Koga Hakama, plus 75 HP, plus 5 Strength, plus 10 Vitality. Koga Kyahan, plus 25 HP, plus 5 Strength, plus 5 Agility. Dark Steel Kunai, plus 3 damage, plus 10 dexterity. Dark steel kunai, plus 3 damage, plus 10 dexterity. Yup, not a dream. I'm still a ninja. Ever since Mike, my brother, the PvP king known as Maxis, dropped the bombshell that the world is nothing like we thought it was, that our home is in danger and we'll all be dead in 6 months unless we do something to save it, it's pretty much all I can think about. But no one's really said anything about it yet. Everyone's still trying to process, dealing with it in their own way. Even Val Helena seemed taken aback by what my brother had to say, and she's been here before. The 8-foot-tall goddess of a half-giant retreated to her own thoughts in solitude, sitting on the bank of the stream to watch the water trickle by. Maxis and Rembrandt, his friend from one of the tech world shards who seemed to know just as much as my brother did, took off to go scout through the forest, or maybe just to get away from us all, before we could ask more questions. Gilly and I, meanwhile, found a pine tree to sit against, but we haven't spoken either. After 5 minutes of silence, I realized Gilly was asleep, perhaps overcome by the ordeal we'd just gone through to reach the safe zone, or the shock of learning that back home we're soon to become living corpses, and that this world, the one we thought was a game, is now all so very real. I had dozed for a bit myself, but now I'm wide awake, and full of questions. The coarse bark of the tree itches through my ninja armor as I lean back and gaze up at a night sky full of stars. I've never actually seen them before. Not for real. Yet here they are. I wish my mother could see this, and then I wonder how she'll react when they come to take my body away. According to Mike, we'll all be put in some sort of stasis. My heart sinks when I think about the agony she'll go through, watching my lifeless body be carted off, not knowing how or why. I need to get back to her as soon as possible, to let her know that I'm all right, to save her. We all need to get back, with these nanites or whatever it is we need to find to save her and everyone else. But as for how, I just don't know yet. There are still so many questions that need answers. A rustle of underbrush draws my attention and wakes Gilly at my side. I stiffen for a second, but relax when I see it's just my brother and Rembrandt returning. We need to roll out, Maxis says, looking at me over dark shades perched at the tip of his nose. His black scarf is still securely around his mouth and neck, and his red karate outfit is stained with mud. I'm not familiar with the class he plays, so I bring up his stats on the party list and then check out his gear to see exactly what it does. Maxis, level 85 karate master. HP, 2,392 of 2,392. Stamina, 430 of 430. TP, 380 of 380. Onyx Shades, plus 0 stats. Hero's Scarf, plus 50 block, plus 50 parry. Infinite Challenger Gi, plus 450 HP, plus 30 block, plus 30 counter, plus 30 parry. Black Belt, plus 20 block, plus 20 counter, plus 20 parry. Dojo Trousers, plus 250 HP, plus 25 block, plus 25 counter. Master's Sandals, plus 0 stats. What the heck? Some of his gear has 0 stats? Does he just wear it for looks? But the rest of it looks pretty interesting, though. I guess karate masters must focus more on blocks and parries. His level seems consistent with the classes from NASCAR 2, the game world I come from, which means the shards must all share some kind of common architecture, which makes sense since we're all here together now. I check out Rembrandt next. He too is wearing shades, but the mirrored variety, and is from a cyberpunk-based game. His long black leather trench coat conceals a black armored vest and fatigues underneath. He has a goatee like my brother, but it's only just visible against his deep ebony skin. Rembrandt, level 85 gunslinger. HP, 1,247 of 1,247. Stamina, 830 of 830. TP, 290 of 290. Mirror shades, plus 10 critical, plus 20 aim. Kingpin's chain, plus 10 dexterity, plus 50 stamina. Grade 5 combat vest, plus 50 HP, plus 40 dexterity, plus 30 aim, plus 250 stamina. Flak fatigues, plus 50 HP, plus 20 dexterity, plus 250 stamina. Survival boots, plus 25% sprinting speed, plus 100 stamina. Tech 12 auto pistol, plus 30 dexterity, plus 20 aim. Tech 12 auto pistol, plus 30 dexterity, plus 20 aim. Wow! He barely has more hit points than I do, but way more stamina. I suppose that's to be expected from a ranged class that fires 100 bullets a second, though. And he might be min-maxed like I am, too, but with all his stats put into dexterity and offense, where mine is placed into agility and evasion. Hey, you paying attention? Maxis says again, snapping his fingers in front of my face. We need to go. Saddle up. Where are we going? Gilly asks as she rises next to me. She still has sleep in her big green eyes, and her short dark hair is matted on the side from where she lay against me. Her dark blue mage robes are creased, and her witch's hat sits crooked on her head, just above her slightly pointed ears, all of which remind me that we're not exactly in the game world anymore. Still, even disheveled as she is, Gilly is one of the prettiest girls I know. Both in-game and out. We need to find a village or something, Maxis says. I think I got my bearings. There should be one further north of here, if we skirt the perimeter of the wild zone. What after that? I ask. How do we get more of that nano stuff, and how do we get it to Citadel? I'm still figuring that part out, Maxis says. But you two are staying in the village, he points to us, where it's safe. What? No way are you two getting killed out here on my watch, and that's final. Now hold on. We need to talk about this some more, booms a deep, feminine voice from above us. Don't you think? I look behind me to see Val Helena in all her glory. Her neck-length platinum blonde hair still looks perfect, and her iron crown still sits level on her head. Her red leather sports bra-like armored top and leather-stripped skirt look less vibrant than they did in the game world, but they still have the same effect, making her already imposing, muscle-ripped body stand out even more. It must have quite the effect on my brother, because for once, he seems lost for words as he stares up at her. Val Helena smiles at him, perhaps sensing her advantage, and presses on. As important as your mission is to everyone here, it wasn't my reason for bringing your brother to the surface, Maxis. I have something else I need to accomplish, and I need his help to do it. That one gets an eyebrow raise from Maxis, and one from me as well. From the very beginning, Val Helena has said that she needed my help with something, but she's never explained exactly what. I need to take him to the Vale of Sorrows to tank the Shadow King, she says. I've got no clue what she's talking about, but it sounds scary as heck, especially in a world where dying means actual death. Maxis, however, seems to have somewhat of an inkling. He scoffs. You've got to be kidding, he points at me. He's only level 75, has barely any experience at all, and you want him to take on something like that? That thing's supposed to be 10 times stronger than a world boss. 10 times stronger? My skin gets goosebumps at just the thought of it. Holy cow. He's a dodge tank with shadow copy, Val Helena retorts. He's the only one who can take it on. I don't care what he's got. It ain't happening. Val Helena folds her large arms across her chest. You were singing a different tune before you knew he was your brother. Well, he is my brother, Maxis shouts up at her. And I'm not going to get him killed out here. Anger builds in my gut. Mom and Mike used to pull the adult card on me all the time. I'm tired of it, and I'm not going to let him and Val Helena do it to me here. Hey, I can decide for myself. I made a promise to Val Helena, and I'm keeping it. That's the whole reason I came here. Maxis darts his eyes toward me. You don't know what you're talking about, Ryan. Stay out of it. It's Reese, I shout, anger flaring. That's my name here. That's who you have to think of me as. I'm not your crippled little kid brother anymore. I beat a world boss. Oh yeah? Maxis says coolly. And how many times did you die doing that, Reese? I open my mouth to say something, but go quiet. Val Helena does as well. Exactly my point, he spits. This isn't a game anymore. There is no respawn. We've got a healer, Valhelena says, and she can level up fast here with our help. That's a huge advantage, and you know it.
That's true, Gilly says. It's the reason I came. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get stronger. Plus, maybe my dad can help us somehow.
Uh-oh. I haven't figured out how that dynamic would play into all of this yet, but the cat's out of the bag now. Your dad? Maxis says, furrowing his brow. What are you talking about?
He's...
Gilly pauses, and I can tell she's hesitant to say it, probably because of what Mike already told us. About how the city's central government knows all about the surface and what happens when people are sent here, but that they keep it a secret all the same. He's the chairman of the board, I say for her. Maxis, Rembrandt, and Valhelena instantly look at Gilly like she's some kind of alien.
That's right,
Gilly confirms, and then continues almost shamefully.
If what you said is true, then my father knows about all of this, and he'll know that I'm here as well.
Maxis's face is deadpan. You're saying that Bruce Peters is your father? Gilly nods. I know as well, of course, but I'm not supposed to know his connection to my brother, that the two of them met in secret to discuss these plans a few days ago. I still need to figure out if I'll ever let that little secret out. Maybe it's not so important anymore.
I never knew about any of this stuff, okay?
Gilly says defensively.
But maybe, if I can get a message to him somehow, he can send more people to help us.
It doesn't work like that, Maxis says dismissively, before muttering to himself. Bruce's daughter. Holy hell, man.
Said that right, mate.
Rembrandt lets out a low whistle.
This one's got handle with care written all over it. And to think, we might be up against a bloody builder this time, too.
A builder? Valhelena says.
You're telling me you're here to fight a builder?
Maybe,
Rembrandt says.
One's close to Citadel, we think, and the nano shards are getting scarcer from boss drops. It might be the only option we have to save the city.
And you think what I'm trying to do is crazy?
Valhelena lets out a short goddess laugh.
No one's even seen one of those things in hundreds of years. You really think you can destroy one? That'd be like fighting a god.
Rembrandt shrugs.
Or a devil.
I share a look with Gilly, and I can tell our thoughts are the same. These guys are nuts. Maxis just shakes his head, his eyes fixed on the ground, features perplexed.
This craft just keeps getting better and better. A mission from hell, and I'm stuck here with my stupid kid brother and Bruce's daughter?
He points up at Valhelena.
I don't care what you say now. The game just changed. As soon as we get to a village, I'm finding a way to send these two back home.
With that, he turns. Let's go, Rem. The three of us stand, frozen, as we watch my brother and his sidekick stalk away. I'm not going to tell you what to do here, Reese, Valhelena says, leaning down toward me. But it sounds like you've got some decisions to make. Chapter 2. The Village. We travel through the forest for an hour, making our way through the darkness with surprising ease thanks to the bright full moon overhead. The sounds of night creatures keep me on edge, though. Hoots from owls mix with the distant cries of other things I can't identify and, frankly, would rather not see. Gilly clings to my bicep, keeping close to me while Valhelena's large form clears a path through the relatively light underbrush between the towering pine trees. Further ahead, my brother and Rembrandt are scouting to determine which direction we should head to find the village Maxis mentioned.
You okay, Gilly?
I ask softly, patting her hand where it clutches at my arm.
You haven't really spoken much since we got here. Sorry,
she says after a pause.
I'm still trying to come to grips with all of this. Especially the part about my dad.
I don't really know what to say, so I just nod.
It kind of feels like I don't really know him now, you know?
Gilly says.
Like everything I've known is based on some... lie.
I swallow, feeling a bit guilty. I knew about her dad's involvement before she did. I contemplate whether or not I should tell her. Would it make her feel better or worse? I'm not sure, but I can share what I think about him. Gilly, don't feel bad about your dad. From what I know, he's doing whatever he's doing to keep the city working, and he kept it all a secret to spare us from having to worry about it. It must be a pretty tough job. I wouldn't think any less of him. Besides, he seemed like a pretty cool guy to me. Gilly lets out a chuckle, and I feel her head nuzzle into my arm.
Thanks, Rhys.
Valhelena comes to a sudden stop in front of us. What's up? I ask.
Smoke,
Valhelena says, and as I inhale the cool air, I can smell it too.
Your brother stopped as well. Might be the village up ahead. Come on.
Valhelena trots through the underbrush. We follow behind her. We find Maxis and Rembrandt standing at the edge of the tree line, peering into a valley below. Moonlight casts a pale glow over the grassy banks that slope downward toward a small cluster of wooden structures a half mile away. There must be a couple dozen of them in all, small cabins built alongside a river. And about a quarter of them are on fire. My heart quickens as I hear the faint cries of panic in the distance.
What do you see? Maxis says to Rembrandt.
The bald cyberpunker leans forward, peering through his mirrored shades.
Something's attacking them. Little green buggers, riding wolves.
That doesn't sound good.
Damn goblins, Maxis says.
The area must be overrun. Really don't feel like having to liberate a town on top of all this other stuff. Let's try to find someplace else.
What?
I say.
We're not going to do anything about this? People are crying for help down there.
Maxis sighs.
They're not real people.
Oh. Gilly says. So they're like NPCs?
They're both, Valhelena says.
Sort of.
Huh?
Both Gilly and I look up at her, confused.
From what I gathered from my time here, she says, the people and creatures in the safe zones are very much real, but I'm not sure if they are truly alive. They eat, they sleep, but I'm not sure if they age or reproduce, although I have seen children.
So, what are they? Gilly asks.
They're AIs, as far as I can tell, Valhelena says. And they're as real as any person you'll meet. Not programs on a set routine, but true sentient beings that feel pain and emotion, just like us.
I don't care how you dress it up, Maxis says. They're not human.
I don't know, Valhelena shrugs.
Are we even human right now?
That one sends my head for a spin. The point is, we're skipping this, Maxis says. We've got better things to do than waste our time rescuing NPCs. We've got real people to save. We'll find another village, or better yet, a city.
Hey,
Gilly says.
If they can feel pain, then that's real enough for me. We need to help them.
Ditto for me, I say, and lock eyes with my big brother.
We need to go help, Mike.
Hey, it's not up for debate.
Isn't it now? Valhelena grins down at him as she retrieves her double-headed battle axe.
I don't recall us officially joining your team, Maxis, so we don't really answer to you. But if you'd like to help out,
she gives him a playful wink. I'd appreciate it. The goddess half-giant releases a cry as she buffs herself, igniting in red flames.
Valhelena uses Berserker. Attack speed and damage increased.
Let's go, Rhys!
She takes off down the hill, and I quickly start to buff as well, casting Shadow Haste and Shadow Copy. Kanji swirls around me. Gilly hits us with a minor favor of the goddess, and a golden light engulfs us as our HP, stamina, and TP bars all get a mild increase. Rembrandt pulls out his pistols with a shrug.
When in Rome, mate.
Maxis mutters a curse, and then performs some kind of karate stance.
I can't believe this crap.
Maxis uses Fists of Iron. Attack speed and damage decreased. Block and counter increased.
You guys stay in the back where it's safe, Maxis barks, and then points at Gilly. Especially you!
He then takes off after Valhelena. We chase after him. My heart rate soars as we clamber down the hill, and the scent of smoke gets stronger. As we draw closer to the village, a message bounces onto my HUD.
New quest objectives found. 1. Repel the goblin raiding party. 2. Extinguish house fires. 4.
3. Aid wounded villagers, 15.
What the heck?
How are their quests in the real world? It's a safe zone, Rembrandt says, his trench coat billowing behind him. The whole thing is run by the Builder's AI. It mirrors the game world, but don't let it fool you, mate. This is all still very real.
I then recall being able to see my spell effects again. That didn't happen when I was in the wild zone earlier. I'm really going to need to get my head around all these new rules. As we get closer to the village, I can make out the four houses on fire. 10-foot-high flames lick into the air, setting the night aglow. Shadows dance as embers crackle high into the night sky. Screams for help and cries of anguish ring out against the roar of the fires. Villagers run in a panic toward the center square, where someone's ringing a bell. I focus on one of the villagers, a woman wearing a simple dress, running with a crying baby in her arms. Name, Edith. Level, 12. Class, villager. She certainly looks like a real person, but is she, really? A few paces behind her, a short humanoid with green skin gives chase. Its head is abnormally large for its body, and it has large yellow eyes, a beak-like nose, and pointed ears like an elf. It snarls and gnashes its yellowed teeth as it thrusts a spear at the fleeing woman. Goblin Raider. Level, 25. These goblins are known for their ferocity and are of the select few chosen to leave their burrows to plunder from the towns of men.
Holy cow! This really is just like the game. And only level 25? We can save this village with ease.
I use charge strike. Wind rushes into my face as I fly across the ground to peg the goblin with my katana. It releases a horrid cry as my blade enters its side, piercing its dirty green skin and spilling red blood. It collapses to the ground in a heap, stumbling over itself mid-run.
You defeated the goblin raider. You gain 823 experience points.
I see several more messages of goblins being defeated and acquired XP as Maxis and Rembrandt head into the fray. Gilly stops behind me, and we both look down at the corpse of the dead goblin. Uneasiness runs through me as I study it. The blood on my katana looks real, as does the body. If this is the real world, and the NPCs are no different than the monsters, then did I just murder something that was alive?
What are you doing?
Maxis shouts at me as he buries a fist into a goblin's face, killing it instantly.
Just loot the nano from the corpse and move on! There are a lot of these stupid things!
Loot the nano? I recall what I saw Maxis do to those wolf corpses when we were in the wild. I kneel down and timidly reach my hand out to the dead body. It's still warm when I touch it. Do you wish to convert the corpse? Y. N. I focus on yes. The goblin's body, as real as it looks, turns to sand and disappears.
You find 1 nano fragments.
I then see a new set of counters appear on my HUD.
Nano bits, 0 of 10,000. Nano fragments, 1 of 1,000. Nano shards, 0 of 100. Nano crystals, 0 of 10. Nano cubes, 0 of 1.
Whoa, did you see that? I say.
Maybe these things aren't exactly real after all. But then, what does that make the villagers? And what are these new figures? Gilly casts a heal spell, and a bright light washes over one of the villagers' burns. His skin heals immediately, and the half-depleted health bar above his head goes to full. The man looks at Gilly and clasps his hands in thanks.
Thank the gods for you, Shard Warrior, he says, and then runs off through the village.
Quest objective updated. 1 of 15 villagers aided.
Shard Warrior? What the heck?
Let's find some more people to help, Gilly says.
All right, I say. These mobs aren't too hard. I'll protect you while we search for them.
Gilly nods with a smile, and I can't help but feel good about it. Real or not, this was the right thing to do. We head into the village, where the main dirt street is awash with chaos. Wolf-riding goblins terrorize the villagers, while a hapless few try to ferry buckets of water from the nearby river to douse the raging fires. Val Helena is going to town with her big axe, chopping the goblins in two with a single cleave. Maxis is doing much the same, but with his fists. Finally, Rembrandt is unloading on the wolf riders, cutting them down and crippling their mounts in a stream of bullets.
Experience points drop with each kill, about 1,000 or so each time, and I hear Gilly level up a couple of times as we search for more villagers to heal. "Grats," I say. "What level are you now?"
23,
she says as she casts heal on a young girl who's suffering from a nasty wolf bite to the leg.
"At this rate, I'll be catching you up in no time."
A new quest appears on my HUD. Quest: repel the goblin raiders. Defeat the goblin champion and mount. A massive howl fills the air as the ground shakes beneath my feet. I pull Gilly closer to me as a huge shadow emerges from the forest. It's lupine in form, but has to be some 20 feet tall. The massive beast gallops down the hillside and charges toward the village. On its back, I see a goblin that's as tall as an elf, wearing a suit of ornate silver armor that looks like it may have been stolen from one. It rides atop the giant wolf, bareback, gripping onto its shaggy mane with one hand as the beast gallops down the main street of the village. The wolf slides to a stop near the village center, about 20 yards from us, and where most of the villagers are now gathered. With its free hand, the goblin unravels a massive whip. It ignites into flames with a sharp crack. Another crack, and the goblin lashes out at the group of villagers fleeing from the wolf's snapping jaws. 3 health bars flatline as the flaming whip sets a group of unfortunate victims alight. The villagers scream in horror and pain as they die. The sound sends chills through my soul. Gilly lets out a cry as the wolf ravishes the flaming bodies and swallows them whole. I'm in a state of shock. This is all too real and horrible. The goblin champion rounds the massive wolf in a circle, pulling at its fur, and his bloodshot yellow eyes set upon us. Oh, crap. 2 monster readouts pop up on my HUD. Goblin champion, level 80. After slaughtering and consuming thousands of its weaker brethren, this goblin has been blessed by the powers of the dark gods to lead the goblin hordes to victory against the realms of men. Affinity, dark. Giant wolf mount, level 80. Only the most savage of goblins could ever tame such a fearsome beast. Affinity, dark. I recast Shadow Haste as the goblin champion drives the wolf in our direction. My heart is in my throat. Dying in-game is no longer an option. Not for me, and most definitely not for Gilly. I push her behind me as the ground shakes again beneath my feet. I freeze in a panic as the massive creature bears down on me. What do I do? Something comes flying from the side and nails the wolf in the head, causing it to yelp and stumble, taking away 3% of its health. I grab Gilly and dash out of the way, just as the huge beast slams into the wall of the log cabin behind us, taking off another 1%. The rider is thrown from its back and hits the ground with a roll that brings him surprisingly back to his feet. I realize then that it must have been Maxis who hit the wolf, because he's now assaulting it with a series of punches and kicks. He crosses his forearms in a block as the wolf snaps at him with its huge jaws. My heart leaps again when my brother's HP bar goes down by 1/3. He dances and spins, shifting almost like he's using active dodge. He performs another block, literally slamming his forearms into the wolf's huge face, and while his HP goes down again, it also pops back up afterwards, a bit higher than before. Maxis blocks the attack. The wolf hits Maxis for 357,842 damage. Maxis regains 447 HP. The crack of a whip pulls my attention away from my brother and to the tall goblin standing 20 feet from me. The flaming whip lashes through the air a second time, but he's not aiming for me. He's aiming for Gilly.
No!
I cry as I leap in front of her. You rescue Gilly. Your shadow absorbs the attack.
Stick to me, ugly!
I shout using war cry, and the goblin's vile yellow eyes shift toward me. The goblin champion twirls his whip. I can't tell which way he's going to attack. It feels like I'm up against one of those octopus-type monsters again. I need to focus. I can't get hit. I can't get hit. Gilly casts a spell, and I see Maxis's HP bar go up from 75% to full. Valhelena is chopping away at the wolf's hindquarters while Rembrandt circles it, blasting away with his pistols to steadily take down its life. My brother is surprisingly keeping hate, perhaps through pure damage alone, as he wails on the wolf's snout with powerful blows. Everyone is doing their part. I've got to snap out of this and start doing mine. This is real, but it's no different than the game. I can do this. I've tanked far worse than this guy. The goblin snarls something at me in a guttural language I don't understand. He then cracks the whip again, and I dash to the side, avoiding it with ease. My confidence returns with my successful dodge, and I charge strike into him, stunning him with my katana and removing 2% of his life. I let off a flurry of triple attacks, taking down his HP 3% at a time. The goblin yells something and retreats under my assault, backing away to get the distance to use his whip again. I don't pursue. Instead, I cast Shadow Cloak and vanish. The goblin starts snapping the whip blindly and defensively as he turns left and right, trying to determine where I am. It speaks its strange language as I make a wide arc around it, but then it does something I don't expect. It makes a mad dash for Gilly just as she casts another heal on my brother. Oh, crap! I instinctively try to charge strike, but it's on cooldown. I do the only thing I can think to do next. I toss one of my blades at it, nailing the goblin right in the neck. Critical hit. You backstabbed the goblin champion for 773 damage. The goblin falls to the ground, losing 30% of its life. It's now down to half. Whoa! I didn't even know that would count as a backstab. Fully visible, I run in with another war cry and start slashing away with my katana as the goblin struggles to pull the other free from its neck. The monster lets out a series of cries as sparks bounce across its silver armor, and I look up to see Rembrandt peppering it from afar. Get that dead! He cries. We need you over here! The goblin is down to 20% and scrambling to his feet. I land a few more slashes to its torso, and with Rembrandt's constant damage, the goblin falls to the ground for the last time. You defeated the goblin champion. You gained 12,642 experience points. Gilly gains a level. I quickly reach down to loot the corpse. It disappears when I'm done. You find 6 nanofragments. You find an ornate breastplate. You find a set of ornate leggings. You find a flaming bullwhip. Wow, I didn't think I could get its gear like that. I retrieve my katana and rush over to where the rest of the party is still battling the wolf. It's down to 60%, and my brother is still tanking it with blocks and retaliation strikes, while Gilly, every so often, tops him up. I recast Shadow Haste and prepare to engage. Maxus! Val Helena cries out. Let Reese tank it! My brother glances at me, miffed, and then looks back at her. I got this! I have survived 4 tours on the surface, you know? I could solo this damn thing. Val Helena swings her axe into the wolf's hide. I'm quite aware of that, sweetheart, but if you let a proper tank take over, I could go all out and we'll kill this thing a lot faster. It's true, mate, Rembrandt says. I've got to hold back when you tank. No offense. What? Maxus looks at Rembrandt like he's just committed the ultimate betrayal. Plus, Val Helena says, swinging again. You'll be able to switch to DPS mode yourself and go all out too. Maxus grimaces as he fends off another bite from the wolf. He doesn't say anything for a moment, slamming the wolf with a retaliation strike instead. Then he looks in my direction with a glare. Reese, if you screw this up and die, I'm going to freaking kill you. Understand? Val Helena lets out a goddess laugh. Holy crap, my brother is actually trusting me for once? That spurs me on more than anything else. I cast Shadow Tendrils and enchant my blades with purple-blue flames. I buff with Shadow Copy next, and then vanish with Shadow Cloak. I circle to the wolf's flank, and then pierce it with a backstab for 8% of its life. I use War Cry as the giant wolf turns on me with a snarl. Over here! I feel more energized than ever, eager to prove my worth to my brother by more than just simply staying alive. I wait to predict the giant wolf's moves. Its attacks seem a bit like Sheba's, but much slower. I slash into its muzzle with my blades and quickly sidestep a snap of its jaws. Yes, I can do this. I hear Val Helena yell as she buffs herself and Maxus changes his stance. Maxus uses Fists of Fire. Attack speed and damage increased. Block and counter decreased. They both go into some kind of hyper mode as they unleash, while Rembrandt does something that doubles his attack speed. Gilly switches from healing to using her TP to cast Second Wind, replenishing their stamina bars as they deplete.
Nice one, Gilly! Rembrandt commends her. We should keep this one around, Max. I'm loving the limitless firepower.
I work hard to counter the extra damage by landing as many of my enmity-buffed blows as I can, while fitting in Warcry and Shadow Magic in between, slowing the wolf and paralyzing it with Shadow Mist. After 5 minutes of fighting, we get the beast close to zero. Valhelena lands the killing blow. You defeated the giant wolf mount. You gain 21,200 experience points. You gain a level. You are now level 76. Gilly gains a level. Gilly gains a level. Gilly gains a level. 1 of 3 quest objectives complete.
Woohoo! Gilly yells.
Maxis reaches out to touch the wolf's corpse before it even hits the ground. The huge object vanishes in an instant, and the villagers all start chanting the same thing.
Shard warriors! Praise the gods!
That name again.
Don't even think about celebrating yet,
Maxis says as he brushes past me and heads for the river.
We still need to heal these people and put out these fires before we can claim this town. Let's go.
Chapter 3. Town Hall. We spend the next 30 minutes playing firefighters and EMTs. Gilly uses her celestial magic to heal people and even raises a couple that were killed by the smaller wolves. The rest of us join in a massive chain that ferries buckets of water from the river to the burning houses. Valhelena acts as the anchor, using her 8-foot height to douse the burning roofs from near directly overhead. Eventually, we get the fires under control, and a system message pops onto my HUD. 3 of 3 quest objectives complete. You gain plus 100 favor with Brookrun Village. Favor level in Brookrun Village increases to level 1. Town administration is now available.
What does that mean?
The villagers around us cheer and shower us with thanks and praise. There looks to be about 100 or so people in all. Most are middle-aged, with only a few children mixed in. I see a woman sobbing and wonder if she might be related to one of the villagers we couldn't save. I meander toward Valhelena as she works to clean some soot from her face with a cloth one of the villagers gave her. Hey, Val, I say. What happens when they die? Do they respawn? By the way the woman's crying, I suspect I know the answer already, but I need it confirmed somehow. Valhelena shakes her head. Another reason I consider these people real, and maybe even alive. There's no coming back from the dead for them. That sends another shock of uneasiness through me, both for the people who were killed and for the goblin I killed as well. What about the mobs? Are they the same? Valhelena removes her iron crown and dumps the contents of a bucket over her head, washing her hair. As far as I can tell. I don't know how to feel about that. A bell rings. It's the same one I heard earlier during the battle. I look for the source and see an old man who has to be in his 80s ringing it. He waves the brass bell up and down, rhythmically, calling for order. He's short, almost like a halfling, though it's mostly due to his arched back. I focus on him and see if I can pull up his name and stats. Name, Wilbur. Level, 35. Class, Villager. Elder.
All hail our saviors,
he shouts aloud when the crowd settles down.
Mighty warriors from the realm of the Crystal Shards, may the goddess bless them.
Blessings of the goddess be upon you,
they say in unison with a short bow.
I am Wilbur, the old man says to us, an elder of this village. Who amongst you is the leader of your party?
That's a bloody good question, mate,
Rembrandt says with a laugh.
I am.
My brother steps forward to stand in front of Valhelena, who's still washing her hair.
Does your village have a wayfaring stone?
The old man looks a bit surprised by the question.
We do, but it has not resonated for many years now.
My brother lets out a cuss.
Figures. Damn waste of time all around.
Rembrandt laughs.
Come now, mate. You really think we'd be so lucky? We haven't been able to find a working node these last 2 missions either.
You really think we'll find one in the first village we stumble across?
Yeah, well, Maxis eyes Gilly and me. I've got two burning reasons to find one real quick. Let's go. We've got to try another village.
Wait, hold up, I say. What's this wayfaring stone thing?
It's a means to travel, young warrior, Wilbur says. A conduit for where our two worlds meet. I was around your age the last time I saw one used. It brought a great warrior from your realm. He nearly conquered all of Athagar, or so I heard. He never stayed with us long.
Is that where we are? I ask.
Suddenly, a map appears before me. What the heck? It almost looks like a map of Nazgar, but when I look close, I notice there are slight differences in the terrain, and the names are all changed. Even more to learn about this new world.
No, Athagar is far from here, to the east. You are in Torin. Our village is named Brookrun.
Something else pops up on my screen. Brookrun Village. You have completed all prerequisites to claim this town.
Our village has suffered much this night, Wilbur says. As much as you have helped already, we could truly use your help to rebuild. If you have the time to spare, of course.
Do you wish to claim Brookrun Village? Y. N. I shrug, and then, more out of curiosity than anything else, I answer him. Yes, we'll help you rebuild. Congratulations, you have claimed a town. You have claimed Brookrun Village. You are now a town administrator. A huge stat screen loads before me. Name, Brookrun Village. Level, 1. Population, 102 of 110. Growth, plus 1 villager per year. Food, plus 23 surplus per day. Income, 0 gold per day. No trade routes established. Morale, 34%. Security, negative 55%. Production, 51 labor units per day. Trade routes, 0. Structures, 1. Common hall, 1. Plus 10% morale. Grants issue edict. 1. Wayfaring stone, null. 22. Log house, plus 5 max population. 25. Field, plus 5 food per day. Resources. Gold, 5 units. Food, 53 units. Wood, 22 units. Stone, 12 units. Iron, 2 units. Actions. Build. Demolish. Issue edict.
Ryan! My brother snaps. What did you just do?
What? I say. I think we should help out.
I agree, Gilly says. These people need us.
Valhelena lets out a goddess laugh.
Looks like your brother just claimed the village, Rembrandt says with another grin. Did you want him to do that?
Maxis gives Rembrandt an eye roll above his shades.
Ryan, tell him we can't help and let's go. But the young master said you would,
Wilbur says, looking confused. He turns back to me.
Is this not true?
Do you wish to abandon your claim? Y. N.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but abandoning the villagers in their time of need sounds like the absolute wrong thing to do, especially when I look at those stats again. These people are in trouble.
No, I want to help. What do we need to do?
Damn you, Ryan!
My brother fumes at me.
Hey, hey, hey. Valhelena steps between us, placing a hand on Maxis's chest.
What your brother has done is not necessarily a bad move. We need some time to get our bearings anyway. Plus, getting Gilly here some levels in this area is not a bad idea either.
Maxis grimaces. I don't care about getting her levels. I need to get her home. You know who her father is?
Yes, that's well established, tough guy. Val lightens her tone with a wink.
But we can't really do anything about that now, can we?
Aye, Rembrandt says. Not without finding a working wayfaring stone. We'll be stuck here waiting until the next world boss falls.
Wait, what?
You mean we're stuck here? I ask.
Yeah, Gilly says. How do we get back?
Maxis sighs.
I'll explain it all in a minute. Let's get away from all these people first.
Wilbur looks back and forth between each of us, perplexed. I wonder just how much he understands of our world. Maybe it would be better if we had some privacy. Elder Wilbur, I ask, is there some place we can go to rest up? An inn or something? Wilbur chuckles.
Oh, an inn would be a fine establishment indeed. If you'd like to set about building one, it may take some effort, mind you.
A prompt then leaps onto my HUD. 1. Village Inn. Plus 20% morale. Plus 5% population growth. Minus 5% security. Cost. Wood. 22 of 100 units. Stone. 12 of 30 units. Iron. 2 of 10 units. Food. 53 of 50 units. Labor. 0 of 150 units. Force build. 100 gold. 100 nanofragments. You do not have the necessary resources to build this structure.
What the heck? You can just buy this stuff? And with nano, too?
For now, all we can offer you is the common hall, Wilbur says. For what you've done for us tonight, you've earned yourselves a rest. Please, come with me.
We depart from the crowd, and Wilbur leads us to a large log cabin near the center of the village. It's sparse inside, with only a few tables and stools. Antlers of deer and other game serve as decoration for the roughly hewn pine logs that make up the walls. Oil lamps are lit to provide soft yellow lighting, and a few of the village women bring us mugs and a pitcher of fresh water.
I'll see to having some food brought for you as well, Wilbur says, and then departs.
As he mentions it, I do notice that I'm feeling hungry. I wonder if the food here is even real, or if it will even matter, considering that I'm not completely real myself. I'm just some kind of nanotech copy of my game character that my consciousness has been thrust into. Man, this is too weird to even think about. We gather around one of the tables and nearly finish the pitcher before Gilly launches the first broadside at my brother.
Okay, big bro, she says. Get to explaining how all this stuff works. What are these stones? How do we get back through them? And what's the connection with the world bosses?
Maxis opens his mouth to talk, but Rembrandt jumps in instead.
Allow me, mate, he says, and then turns his mirror shades toward us. It's all one big extension of the AI's network, you see. The builders that created the safe zones are still very much active.
Right, Valhelena says. Except no one's ever seen one.
What do they look like? I ask.
Rembrandt shrugs.
Whatever they like, I suppose. They're pure nano, mate. They create the stuff, the real stuff, not the knockoffs we use. The nano we use have a half-life, limited use. If they didn't, we'd have a gray goo situation all over again.
What's that? Gilly asks.
Runaway nanites, Maxis says. Infinitely replicating themselves till nothing is left. Sort of like the desert in the wild zone. It's all dead nanites as far as I can tell.
Holy moly.
But back to the builders, Rembrandt says. I've heard stories from the locals that they appear sometimes. They're considered gods here. But in the tech worlds, they more closely resemble what they truly are. All controlling AIs with wills of their own. And they don't seem to like us humans much.
Why? I ask. Do they see us as a threat or something?
Rembrandt shrugs.
No idea. I suppose from their point of view, we're the old slave masters who need to be destroyed. Not all of them think that way, though. I think some want to protect us. They're just like people, mate. All different.
How many of them are there? Gilly asks.
Another excellent question that I don't have an answer to, miss, Rembrandt says. But I'd imagine there's at least one builder for every safe zone. And I know of three myself, personally.
And what exactly is the wild, I ask. Who controls that?
Nobody, Maxis says. That's why we can breach the protocol there more easily. All the builders are connected to it somehow. It's why we can't just go back and forth to Citadel. Every time we connect to it, there's a risk we'll be discovered. When you fight a world boss,
What we're actually doing is enslaving a sentry AI to the game world and defeating it on our terms.
If we defeat it, you mean? Belle Helena says.
Right, Maxis says. But if we do, we can send a broadcast signal. It allows the consciousness transfer. That was the 1 minute timer you saw when you defeated the boss. When that's active, people can transfer in, and we here will get an option to log out.
Whoa, Gilly says. That's bizarre.
What about the PvP match you guys were in with Iko? I ask. What's it do?
It sets the initiating protocol. It makes the connection to whatever random node the system picks for us. A small team can always gain access to the surface that way, but after that the sentries lock on, and then you have to battle through them. Once they're defeated, we can make a hard connect, but any more than a minute, and they'd be able to trace the connection back to Citadel and counterhack our system. I don't even want to think about what would happen to us if they managed to do that.
This is crazy, Gilly says. No wonder my dad doesn't talk about this stuff. No one would believe him.
Your dad's not in charge of all of this, Maxis says. A dude named Dennis Fields is. He's the lead software engineer. He's in charge of all of these safeguards. Make sure we don't expose ourselves too often.
Yes, I remember that guy now. He was a bit of a tool to my brother during that meeting, too. He was also the one who upped the schedule.
Does that mean that he controls when the world bosses spawn?
Maxis nods.
So, couldn't they just make them spawn again? Gilly says.
They already accelerated the schedule with this last jump, Rembrandt says. He wouldn't risk it again. Frequency is as bad as duration. That's why it's once a month.
So that's why.
Belle Helena lets out a little chuckle, albeit a mirthless one.
And here I was thinking it was all random.
So this means that until a world boss spawns again and is defeated, we're stuck here? I ask.
Yes and no, Maxis says. There is another way, supposedly. The wayfaring stones. We call them receiving nodes. They're like hardwired inputs that lead back to Citadel. There's usually one in every town. But lately, all of them have been dead. Even the ones spawned from a boss battle. It's why we haven't been able to get any nano back to the city for years.
Why aren't they working? Gilly asks.
Maxis shrugs.
Beats me.
So, how do we get the nano back then? I ask. Will we have to wait for another world boss spawn?
No, Maxis says. That will only allow us to log out. Our nano bodies, along with any nano we got, will remain here. Which reminds me, top of my agenda is to find my last despawn point. I think I had at least 3 full cubes on me at the time. That's like 3 billion credits worth of nano, before you ask.
Holy crap. How do we get it back then? Gilly asks. Without one of these nodes?
We think we may need to travel to Citadel, Rembrandt says. Physically, and turn them in by hand.
What? I say. You mean walk back home? In these bodies?
I have a vision of me running around the hub like this. Part of it seems kind of badass, but then I think about staring at my own body in stasis and start to wig out. What the heck would my mom think? Geez, even with all of this, I can't forget that she's the main reason I need to get back home, with plenty of hard nano in hand.
So, Belle Helena says, leaning on the table to level her eyes at my brother. Your goal is to get as much nano as you can, head back to Citadel on foot, and then kill a builder along the way?
Yeah, Maxis says, leaning on the table to meet her gaze. Except it's not that simple.
Val Helena laughs sardonically.
You think?
It's not for the reason you're guessing either, Maxis says. The builder's not the real issue. It's getting to Citadel that's going to be the problem.
Why? Gilly says. Where is it?
That's just it, Maxis says. No one knows.
Chapter 4. Karma. Bruce Peters glanced over the dossiers on his data pad and frowned.
So, only 6 in total now?
Yes, Dennis said.
Unfortunately, one of them has expired already.
A knot tightened in his stomach. That could have been Jill.
He gazed through the picture glass window of the observation lounge. The small, booth-like office overlooked the stasis chamber, where more than a third of the city's 1 million inhabitants now dwelled. The chamber itself was cylindrical in shape and built vertically.